Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Again, if you have your Bible there today, turn it to John chapter 3, and we're going to be talking about what it means to be born again or how you become a born-again believer. And I believe there's some people out there listening to me today that you need to hear this message. You need to be born again. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so this will be a transforming message for you, a message of revelation for you. And for those of you who are already born again, for those of you who know that you are saved and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this will be a refresher course for you. And it will also help you in your efforts to evangelize and to witness and to share your testimony with others in your family and your circle of friends. And so we're going to look at this starting in chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him, or no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And so Jesus had been walking with the disciples. He had been ministering in Nazareth and Galilee, in regions around that area in Jerusalem, and he had performed many miracles in the villages and in within the multitudes. He had performed many miracles, and here he is speaking to one of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the religious elite. They were the ones who had studied the most and had been groomed and pedigreed to know everything about the gospel, the Old Testament scriptures, not the New Testament, which was not in existence at that time, but the Old Testament scriptures. And they were the keepers of the law. They were the keepers of the oracles of God. And so this man, Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, he came to Jesus by night, and he said, "We know, Jesus, that you are a man from God." So he made a confession, he made an admission right there that he recognized that Jesus was a man from God. "For no one can do these signs unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, this was a startling statement from Jesus, and it was a perplexing statement to Nicodemus. He had no idea what Jesus was talking about. Nicodemus wanted to see the kingdom of God. He wanted to understand the kingdom of God. He never would have come to Jesus by night and encountered him and asked him these questions had he not wanted to see the kingdom of God. And so that is a lesson for us, beloved. If you have not accepted Jesus and you're curious, there is a reason for your curiosity. The Holy Spirit is already working on you. The Holy Spirit is already wooing you. And so you have come to the place where you desire to know more about the kingdom of God. And if that describes you today, if that is a picture of you today, understand that God loves you, that God cares about you, that he sent his son Jesus to die for you eventually on the cross, as in relation to this story, that eventually Jesus went to the cross and he died for you. Now we can look back on that situation, we can look back on that event and understand through the scriptures that Jesus shed his precious blood for you, that the blood that he shed on the cross and at the whipping post, and when they put the crown of thorns on his head and they drove the spikes through his hands and they drove the spikes through his feet, all of these ways that he shed his precious blood for you is so that you could be covered by the blood of Jesus, that the sacrifice that he made for you will cover your sins, that the sacrifice that he made on your behalf so that you won't have to go to the cross and I won't have to go to the cross, that sacrifice is sufficient to cover all of your sins and to cover all of the things that keep you separated from the kingdom of God. And if you want to see, just as Nicodemus did, if you want to see the kingdom of God, then you must be born again. You must lay down your life, you must lay down your pride, and all of the things that are keeping you separated from God, your sin and the iniquities that you have, that is the repetitive, willful choosing of sin in your life, you must lay that down and you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 4, Nicodemus says to him, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answers him in verse 5, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, many people have different interpretations of that scripture where Jesus says, you must be born of water and the Spirit, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, some people say that that being born of water speaks of the waters of birth, the water bag that surrounds the baby at birth, but that is the natural birth, so that's not what Jesus is talking about. Some people say that water speaks, that reference to water speaks of baptism, and there's some justification for that, but I don't believe that is true, because baptism does not save you. Baptism does not usher you in to the kingdom of God. Baptism is an act of obedience that happens after your heart has already been changed. Baptism is an act of obedience that you willfully enter into, and it is symbolic of your death, burial, and resurrection. But it happens after the fact, when your heart has already received and your heart has already been transformed and your heart has been conformed to the desire that God has for you to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so what I believe the water and the Spirit refers to, when you are born of water, you are cleansed by the Word of God. You are cleansed by the healing and the delivering and the transforming power of the Word of God. In John 15:3, Jesus said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. And so when you hear the word, when you hear the word preached, when you hear the word spoken, when you hear the word and receive it into your heart and receive it into your life, that word is the transforming power of God in your life. That word is the cleansing power, because that word cleanses you. Just as Jesus spoke in John 15:3, you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. And then also in Ephesians 5:26, where the Apostle Paul is talking about the relationship of a husband to his wife, he says, now that he, the husband, might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water of the word, or by the word, with the cleansing power of the washing of water by the word. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. And so Paul is making a comparison between a husband who loves his wife and wants to sanctify her and wants to protect her and wants to cleanse her. And he says that just as Jesus Christ gave himself up for the church, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. And so there's a cleansing power of the Word of God. There's a sanctifying power, that is, the power of God through his Word to set us aside and to consecrate us, to dedicate us to our destiny in the kingdom and to sanctify us, that is to say, to cleanse us and to set us aside. And all of these happen when we receive the Word of God into our life. All of these things happen when we say yes to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and we say yes to the Word when we hear the Word. How can people hear without a preacher? How can they know the Word without somebody being sent to them to preach the Word to them? And just as you're listening to the Word today, the Word has power over your life. The Word of God coming out of my mouth has the same power as the word coming out of God's mouth, and that word is powerful, it is cleansing, it is sanctifying, and it is transforming. When you open up your life and open up your heart to receive the word, then you will be transformed and you will be cleansed and you will be set aside and you will see the kingdom of God as you enter in and as you are born again. Well, your willpower has to come into agreement with God's will. God isn't going to override your will. He's not going to override your will and come against you in such a way that you don't have to get involved in the process. You must get involved in the process. You must get involved. And I pray if you're out there listening today that you're already curious about the kingdom of God. If you're not a believer, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you are curious about the kingdom of God. That's the reason you're listening today. And if you're not a believer, then you open up your heart and you can just say a simple prayer and you say, Lord, I want to receive what you have for me today. Lord, open up my heart, open up the eyes of enlightenment of my heart and give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I can understand what you are saying to me today, that I can understand what your word is trying to speak to me today. And I believe there are some out there today, you're going to have a transforming experience. There's some out there today that you're going to understand that God loves you, that he cares for you, and that you are going to receive the word into your heart today, and you will be cleansed and you will be born again today as a result of listening to this message today. Well, Jesus goes on to say then that in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so we all have a natural birth. Each and every one of us can look back at a time. You don't remember it specifically, but you can look back at a time because other people recorded the event. When you were born of the flesh, you were given a birth certificate. Your parents were given a birth certificate. Somebody probably took some pictures of you, maybe put your little footprint on a piece of paper or your handprint on a piece of paper. And so that is being born of the flesh. And we all celebrate that day. Some of you have reached a point maybe where you don't want to celebrate it. You've maybe reached that age when you don't want to celebrate it. But that is the natural birth. And then Jesus went on to say that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So you have a fleshly body. You count the years. Your fleshly body grows old. It gets mature. It goes through the teenage years and into adulthood and then into middle age, then a senior citizen, and your fleshly body will eventually wear out and it will be laid into the grave, or the ashes of you will be laid into the grave. But of the Spirit, your spirit body, when it is born again, your spirit then, your spirit body, your body that is then aligned with the kingdom of God, is seeing the kingdom of God, and you start to walk with the kingdom, you start to walk in the kingdom here on this earth, and as you go forward, you mature in your walk with the Lord, you mature in your passage in the kingdom of God, and you mature in your knowledge and your understanding of God's will for your life, for your destiny, for your calling. You mature in your study of God's word. You start to receive more revelation. You receive more understanding as you study God's word. And as you pray, God will reveal things to you in your prayer time and in your study and in dreams and visions and revelations from the Lord. You're going to understand more about the kingdom that you're walking in, and you're going to understand more about the nature of God and the very essence of God and who he is and what he wants for you in your life. Jesus goes on in verse 7 and he says, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. And verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so Jesus makes a comparison between the wind and the Holy Spirit. And basically what he was saying is this: when you see the wind blowing, and out here on the prairie we see a lot of the wind blowing, but when you see the wind blowing, you see the trees moving, you see the wheat moving in the field, you see the dust blowing, you see tumbleweeds blowing across the highway, and many evidences of the wind, but you don't know where that wind that you're looking at right now, the evidence of it, you don't know where it's going, you don't know how long it's going to blow, you don't know who it's going to affect. It may go down the road and blow somebody's barn over or somebody's grain bin, or it may be just a gentle breeze and blows the flag out from the flagpole just a little ways. You don't know. You see just a little evidence of it, or a lot of evidence of it, depending on the velocity of the wind. And so it is, Jesus says, with the Holy Spirit. You don't know who's going to be touched by the Holy Spirit next. You don't know where the Holy Spirit is going to go and who it's going to touch and how hard it's going to touch them or how much impact it will have on them. And so the wind, as it circulates around and as it blows first from north to south, and then the next day it'll blow from south to north. And out here on the prairie, if you live on a hill, you know that one week you may get blown from south to north, and then the wind will turn around and it'll blow you back the other way. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. You do not know where it's going to go, who it's going to touch, and how it's going to impact them when it touches them. The Holy Spirit in the supernatural, in the kingdom of God, in the supernatural realm, is just like the wind in the natural realm. And as you see the wind in the natural, as you hear the wind blowing in the natural, know this, beloved, that the Holy Spirit is active, that the Holy Spirit is moving on the earth, that the Holy Spirit wants to apprehend or arrest every single person here on this earth. And that's why it was left here by Jesus, was that the Holy Spirit would be the agent of the Godhead, and it would move in the hearts and lives of people. And so this is a great encouragement for us as we pray for those in our family who are not saved, as we pray for our children. Maybe you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren that aren't saved. Maybe you're up there in your senior years and you're wondering, God, why am I still here on this earth? What is my purpose here on this earth? Well, beloved, let me encourage you in your prayer life. Let me encourage you to spend time, write the names down on a list of those in your family or your neighbors or people that you are acquainted with in your coffee circle or whatever. You spend time in prayer for those people, because you don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to move in their life. You don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to impact them, that who God may send into each person's life to speak to them, speak the word, give evidence and give witness to the Holy Spirit in their life. And so as you pray, you by faith understand that God wants you to intercede, that God wants you to stand in the gap, and God wants you to keep asking. Ask and you shall receive. When you ask God for your children, for the inheritance of salvation for your children, God understands your desire. He sees your heart. He knows what you are asking for, but he wants to hear you asking for it. And so if you are confused about why you're still here, if you're an elderly person, you spend time in prayer interceding for your family, for your children and your grandchildren, and let the Holy Spirit work in their life as it moves around, as it penetrates into people's hearts and probes and tries to find a soft heart and a receiving heart and a mind that wants to comprehend and see the kingdom of God. You, by faith, keep praying and know that God hears your prayers, and by faith you keep praying and know that the Holy Spirit is going to apprehend and it's going to arrest those in some way or in some fashion beyond anything that you can understand in the natural. But just know this, that God cares about every single person that you're praying for, and he will send the Holy Spirit. When you ask him to send, he will send the Holy Spirit, and he will send angels to war over your loved ones, to break the chains of denial, to break the chains of unbelief, to break the chains of stubbornness off of them. And so they will receive the Holy Spirit of God. They will receive it, and they will come to know Him, and they too will see the kingdom of God. And so Jesus continues to speak to Nicodemus, verse 9, and Nicodemus answered and said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" And so Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, you've studied the scriptures. You are a ruler of the Jews. You're one of the great Pharisees, the people who are knowledgeable about the scriptures, knowledgeable about God, and you don't understand these things. He's saying to Nicodemus, you need to learn the basics. He was, in a way, chiding him a little bit or insulting him just a little bit. He was saying, Nicodemus, you need to learn the basics. You have pride in your knowledge, you have pride in your learning, but you have missed the basics. Many, many of the Old Testament saints were saved by the grace of God. They weren't saved by baptism, they weren't saved by their good works, they were saved by their faith and their belief in God. Just as Abraham believed, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abraham, the father of many nations, he believed in God, and God reckoned it to him, his faith. God accorded or recorded it to Abraham. Because Abraham believed, God reckoned it to him. That's an accounting term. He put in Abraham's column that he believed, and he became then a friend of God. And so just as Abraham was saved, just as Abraham became a friend of God, we too are saved by our faith in Jesus Christ, by our belief that Jesus Christ died for us, that He shed His precious blood for us, and that our sin has separated us from God, and that our sin is holding us back from seeing the kingdom of God. And when you come to a place when you acknowledge that, and when you see that, and when you understand that when you confess your sin, when you repent of your sin, and when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then by faith you too are saved. And you follow that up with baptism as an act of obedience. You follow that up with discipline in the body of Christ. That is to say, you become involved in the body of Christ. You become a participant in the body of Christ, and when you do these things, then you have assurance. You know for certain that you are saved. You know for certain that you are born again because your life has been transformed. Your life has been changed from the inside out, and your life then becomes a witness to the fact that you see the kingdom of God, that you are a participant and a member, and you are walking in the kingdom of God. Well, we're going to continue next week talking more about the Holy Spirit and how we can rely on the Holy Spirit to teach us the truth. And so we're going to be talking about that next week. I hope you tune in again next week. First, I want to talk to you about an opportunity that you might be able to go to Africa with me. I'm going to be leaving in July for a two-week trip for a team to go to Africa to work on the orphanage project, the Living Water Orphanage Project in Kenya. And this will be an opportunity for believers and even people maybe who are not believers. If you're curious about the kingdom of God, you want to see the kingdom of God, and you want to get involved in a great missions project, I open up this opportunity for you through Gather the Outcast Ministry to go to Kenya with me. And so if this is something that you think you might be interested in, if this is something that you might want to do, get in touch with me through my email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. We've got contact information coming up at the end of the broadcast. But if you will email me, I'll send you a complete itinerary of the mission. And we're going to be spending 2 weeks near Mumias, Kenya, out in West Kenya. And then the last 3 days of the mission, we're going to the Masai Mara, the big wildlife refuge in southern Kenya, where you'll be able to take pictures of all the lions, the elephants, the giraffes, the hippos, and the cheetahs, and all those animals all there right there on the Masai Mara. And so this is going to be an awesome trip, and you will want to be part of it if you want to participate in the kingdom of God. See what God's doing in Africa, help build an orphanage, help take care of the widows and the orphans out there in West Kenya. And so again, if you think you might be interested in this, email me at pureprairie@hotmail.com. I'll get the complete trip itinerary to you. You pray about your part and get ready to go, and you will be blessed 30, 60, and 100-fold as you step out and leave your comfort zone and go to work for the kingdom of God. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I invite all of you to help support this ministry. Sit down, write a check, send us a note, let us know you're listening. Let us know that these messages are important to you, and as you do that, we're going to send you a book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa, will be a book given to each and every person that makes a donation of any amount. So send that donation to the ministry. We depend on your donations, and we love you. We thank God for this ministry, and we thank God for each and every one of you. Well, God bless you today. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.